Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
It's Cofield and Company.
Greg Salerno is company. Mateo Griffin, Cofield on a Thursday. Greg, you have held steady on your personal ban of Twitter?
Yes.
Good for you. These are the moments where I'm like, this social media blows.
I know.
Anthony Richardson got hurt. I don't know what the injury is. It looks like it's a finger injury. I saw a screenshot. It looked like his right pinky probably got broken. I don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
The photo could be altered, but, you know, it's kind of bent the wrong way. You go up on social media and people are like laughing about it. Like, what is wrong with you? Someone tweets out, Anthony Richard hurt once again. Sadly, a straight bum with like five, you know, stupid emojis. Like, relax.
Yeah.
Stop being a dirtball. Yeesh. My God, these are real people.
Right.
Speaking of our real people, NFL players, Vegas is on the road against Seattle. Game's coming up on Fox at 7 o'clock. But you know what? Turn the sound down on the TV. Listen to radio. We've got the call on R&R 920 and Comp 92.3. Pre-game is underway already, as you can hear that on Raider Nation Radio. Lincoln Kennedy is doing the pregame, and then at 6:30 over on Comp, you're going to hear JTTB and Eric Allen with the continuation of the pregame, and they've added a bunch of new voices, and I don't have official confirmation. I'll look for a tweet, but there is a new color voice on the broadcast. So JT is actually going to do the play-by-play with Horowitz off taking care of some business. And there's some new voices they've added to the mix. So some good stuff from the Raiders broadcast crew. So that game's coming up at 7 o'clock. But if you want to get primed up for it, turn us off right now. Well, you know, Raider Nation Radio is over on 920. We're going to be talking football. We'll go to Seattle in a couple minutes as well. But news from Major League Baseball, a couple of fronts. Greg, did you see that a female is going to join the MLB umpire ranks?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's great. But why do you wait till Blake break the glass ceiling until we're about to not have umpires anymore? I mean, it's like, wow, great. You get a job for 6 months. Congratulations.
It's pretty amazing.
I know.
And that's not a shot against her. But
no, not at all.
Anyone with any kind of common sense is like, please, especially if they've already got enough replay that they can correct most of the mistakes in the field
right.
at the bases.
Right.
I hope we're like 3 years away from, you know, the ball strike system replacing. They can have someone sitting back there making, you know, $280,000 a year and, you know, making the motion of a strike.
Sure.
That's fine, but you can't have them calling balls and strikes when we at home have the freaking accurate box.
100%.
And it gets worse. It's like, I swear it's worse every week. There's just a call where you're like, what were they seeing?
I know. It's ridiculous. And if I'm in a game, and I think there's going to be a lawsuit someday, like a gambling lawsuit, because if I have $100,000 or something on a game, I mean, I don't know what you're allowed to bet on a game, but if I had some ridiculous amount of money and it's a 3-2 count and the ball's right down the middle and they call it a ball, I mean, I'd run a suit. I'd be like, hey, man, I won the game. That's the rule, you know?
I don't know what kind of legal standing you'd have, but I mean, it is frustrating and it's embarrassing to the umpires. You can't beat technology. The human eye will never match technology.
No.
Not going to happen.
And they did tennis for decades now. Like, why is it okay for tennis?
No one has complained. It has saved the game so much agita.
Yes.
Because I grew up in an era where it really was a strategy by some of the, especially the male players,
yep.
to slow down the match, terrorize these people,
mm-hmm.
and work in the lines and the chair. And it's like, I mean, it was funny to a point, but it's like it's going on forever, and they used to do it all the time, and now it's not part of the game anymore.
No.
And we didn't need it. It was stupid. It was unnecessary. Okay. Baseball. Dodgers are not doing well. I'm still worried about Ohtani, although, you know what, yesterday he had a jack, and he had four plus really good innings where he was efficient, struck out 8. Some of the other evil umpires, though, man, the Yankees and the Mets.
Ugh.
Both are scuffling badly. And listen, both teams have plenty of stars. They haven't had an issue that we can see in drawing players, whether it's as free agents or being open to trades to go to New York. But New York is a tough and it's an annoying place. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a prime example. The Mets are not playing well. They're getting no hit the other day. We'll get to Adam Hiller here in a minute. They're getting no hit. And Juan Soto gets up, and he hits a blast to center. It's a home run. He breaks up the no-hitter. That, for some reason, pissed off former athlete, who this is another thing that drives me nuts about the jockocracy and how much hating they do on current-day athletes. Boomer Esiason decides to go in on Juan Soto because he's annoyed with him.
There was a chance yesterday that when Juan Soto hit that ball, that he might have been thrown out at first base if it doesn't go out of the building.
You know,
because he's loafing out of the box. Now, I don't expect him to sprint to first base in a situation like this, but he watched the whole thing and
gets out by literally a foot.
And it's back in. And you know what? This to me is like a rear. And he's got a nice smile on his face. You know, like he's laughing. You know, I'm sick of it.
He hit a home run. He was happy that he hit a bomb. You're right. It went 408 to dead center. By the way, the guy doing the show with him, shame on you. If Boomer Esiason says he hits one that he loafed out of the box and he could have been thrown out at first base, it was to straightaway center. The center fielder was not going to throw the ball if it had come up short from the warning track to first base to throw him out. So, like, I know he could say, well, I mean, I'm just saying. Like, well, you said it. So screw off.
Yeah, Soto's smiling, so he's obviously an evil person. I mean,
right.
We all know that.
He's loafing. Yeah, he's celebrating a home run. They broke up a no-hitter. He's not getting freaking thrown out at first base from center field, you jackass. God, Boomer Esiason. If I had known as a young man when he was putting me through hell as a Jets fan that this is how we turn out to be an athlete hater at whatever he is, 78 years old.
Yeah.
God, I would have rooted for even more interceptions than he threw. And believe me, every one of them made me miserable back then. All right, let's go up to Seattle. I don't know what the name of the stadium there is anymore. Is it Lumen? Adam Hill is with us. Adam, who's the sponsor? We'll mention it once.
Lumen Field.
Okay. All right. Where are you right now?
I'm up in the press box. Actually, I'm going to say, and I know you love the logistics, people may not care, maybe the most efficient from parking, getting into the press box, and getting a seat, and then you can look out right behind us in the press box, out over beautiful Puget Sound. Like, it's lovely up here.
Wow. Well, I know that's a big deal to you, and it can be annoying. I mean, it's kind of a media pull back the curtain thing. People don't care how long it takes you to get in the stadium, but it worked out well for you, especially we know you with parking.
Oh, yeah. But also, like, the Mariners game was going on. They're connected. The stadiums are connected. And Lady Gaga is playing in about 2 hours over at a Climate Pledge Arena. So the rest of the city was absolute chaos. But over here by the stadium, very efficient. Really, it wasn't about the fact that it got up here. Really, I wanted to point out, like, it is one of the nicest views from a press box you'll ever see, because obviously you look out on the field and then you turn around and the water's behind you. You can see it from the press box. Very, very cool.
Well, that surprises me, because like Portland, Seattle is a hellhole. At least that's what I've seen on TV.
I'm going to tell you, Steve walked around the city a lot today, and I would disagree.
Yes. Greg, we're continuing a joke from during the week where Seattle and Portland got such a bad name for a few blocks of protest and mayhem and chaos. And these are places that are highly desirable to live in. They're beautiful.
Oh, I know. That's like L.A. I heard L.A. was a war zone. I drove out there. I couldn't find anything. I was like, all I saw was beaches, people lifting weights, like fun. I was like, oh, okay. Well,
yes.
What a war zone.
Tommy Tuberville, who's residing in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, don't get your news from James Woods. You'll be all right.
I stopped by the Starbucks Reserve. It's the place where they try out all the new coffees and all the new products at a Starbucks. God. And, man, it was like I felt like I was in a felt like it was in Gaza, just dodging bullets all over the place. It was rough, man.
That must have been heaven for you. You got what is this special level Starbies?
Supposedly one is coming to Las Vegas. I think I don't know if that's on the record or off, but it's coming. They try out all the new stuff, so all the new coffees, all the new food products. You sit down, you can have like a nice lunch with all the new food stuff, and by the way, a bar. So they make the the espresso martinis, that sort of thing. So did not get to sample that as I'm working, but they had it was a really, really cool spot.
All right, we are 90 minutes away from Pete Carroll tribute video gate. Can you set the story up? Because I did make a call up to Seattle to my friends who do radio there, and you're actually listening to the radio station KJR today. And I was like, hey, are you hearing anything about Pete Carroll getting a tribute? There was a media member, a Raiders media member, who said Pete was getting a tribute. There was confusion. I hope Pete's not hurt by this. What's the latest with this tribute?
I don't know. I saw Pete crying on the field, so not like a happy cry. He's very sad that there's supposedly no tribute. From what I understand, there is not a tribute. Not a tribute tonight. However, the plan is by the team officials to, hey, just show Pete on the scoreboard and just let it sit there. Like, hey, here's Pete. And if the crowd wants to cheer, they can. They can react whatever they want. But they definitely plan to show him on the scoreboard and just let the fans do what they want. There's not going to be like a, Golden Knight-style tribute coming home. And I think they're going to do the same thing with Geno. I would not expect them to do that with Jamal Adams. One of the topics on the radio today was, is Jamal Adams the most hated Seattle athlete to come back and play a game?
Wow.
And I think the answer clearly is no. It's definitely Alex Rodriguez, but... the fact that Jamal Adams was on that list, I don't expect a tribute video to him.
Yikes. Okay. Yeah. Second gate to get to. Everybody is live gate. That was, I think, misunderstood. Maybe we're going to find out that Adam and I are the ones who are the morons. Pete Carroll was asked if starters are going to play, and he said everybody is live. The line moved. A tweet went out saying starters are going to play. How is this going to turn out? Will starters play?
I mean, we'll see. I mean, I see them down on the field. They're kind of going through, warm-ups and stretches, but I think they do that whether they're playing or not. If you made me bet, I would bet that we'll see at least some starters for, like, a series or two. But I don't believe that Pete Carroll said they were playing. I was there. He never said that. I don't think he promised the starters were playing. I know I saw several headlines today, Raiders starters get ready to open the season. Like, I don't think that's true. I think we'll see some guys. I don't think I feel like we're not going to see Ashton Jeansey, but, you never know. I'm interested. Like, I'm interested with everybody else to find out because they have not given us an answer, despite what the headlines have said and what one tweet said and what the line has said. They haven't told us whether they're playing or not. I think that we'll probably see a little bit, maybe like a cameo for some guys, but I certainly wouldn't expect like playing in the half. I did hear somebody say that they might play in the third quarter. I was like, wait a minute, where did this come from? What are we doing?
Talking to Adam Hill, Las Vegas Review Journal, and famous for Hill and his homies. I have a question about the offensive line because a lot of times, they'll say the team, like the Eagles, people about the Eagles always say, oh, Hurts is because of the offensive line, or, their running game because of the offensive line. I think a lot of times it can go the other way, too. Like, if your quarterback's awful, a new quarterback can come in, then all of a sudden your offensive line looks formidable again. Do you think that could happen here with Geno Smith coming in? Maybe the offensive line for the Raiders is a little bit better than we thought?
Can I answer the question and say yes, but not because of what you just said?
Okay, that's fair.
Because there's somebody else that's coming in. Somebody else is coming in, right? Chip Kelly. And Chip Kelly's scheme is much more conducive to the run game. It's also much better suited to the offensive line, personnel that they have. So I would not be surprised at all if the offensive line is much better at run blocking and everybody just says, wow, look, Ashton Jeansey fixed everything. And I think, look, Ashton Jeansey is a dynamic playmaker for sure. But I think that the offensive line is going to be in a much better position than they were last year. Like, this much more utilizes their athletic ability, their ability to get out and move. Like, a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson, a smaller guy like Jordan Meredith, these guys can move really well. And they weren't really used that way last year. It was much more of a power scheme. They were kind of just getting them upfield. They weren't able to operate in space much at all. I think Chip Kelly is going to put the offensive line in a much better position. I think it's going to help all around in terms of their protection, especially in the run game.
Are those some of the starters that could play tonight? Are we going to actually see on the field some of that war for playing time at center and guard being waged tonight?
Well, yeah. I mean, if the starters are going, that'll certainly be something that we're going to be looking at. And if the starters are going, I would imagine it's Jordan Meredith at center and Jackson Powers Johnson at guard. There might not be a full battle. Alex Kappa missed a couple of days of practice this week. Doesn't seem to be anything serious, but I don't know that he would play at all anyway. So if he's not playing, I don't think you say, well, that you don't read anything into that. I think you just say he's a little backed up maybe. But yeah, I mean, if the starters are going, that'll be the kind of things we're looking for. Who are the starters at offensive line? Because we think we know, but there is still that battle going on. And Pete Carroll definitely kind of threw some cold water on the fact that that was a done deal the other day and said, you know, we're looking at some things and we think we see some things and they're still battling. So I think that would be fascinating. Certainly the battle of the cornerback, you know, one cornerback position seems to be open between the rookie Darian Porter, who seems to be winning it, and DeCameron Richardson, second year corner. Those guys seem to be battling out for one of the starting corner spots. So there are some position battles still to be played out. Not a whole lot of them, but a couple certainly to watch.
This is a game that Tyree Wilson has to play and probably has to log a pretty decent amount of time, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think they want to see a lot from him, and I think he wants to prove a lot. And, you know, he has said all the right things about where he is right now, and certainly he played his best football of his career down the stretch last year. The last, you know, 6-7 games after the bye, he's talked about the bye really refocusing him. He did a lot of self-scouting and kind of decided his career wasn't going the way he wanted it to go, and he thinks that he turned around his career after that bye last year, and I would say the numbers backed him up. Pressure rate certainly went up. His sacks went up. He was much more impactful on the field, and they plan on using him in a lot of different ways. He'll play defensive tackle in obvious passing situations, provide some depth at defensive end as well in you know, all situations. And this is a big, big year for Tyree Wilson. And he thinks that he's primed for a big breakout, and I think for his career, he better be.
Adam Hill on the phone. Switching to the other line, obviously they had the debacle with Wilkins. They brought in Thomas Booker, who I actually like, from the Eagles. What are you looking for from the D-line tonight, and do you think that all their starters are going to play?
I mean, even if the starters are playing, I think it'll be – well, look, it's always a battle to keep Max Crosby off the field, but why would he play? Right. I don't. I think that doesn't make sense.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I think we just talked about Tyree. I think that's a big one for sure. Malcolm Kuntz, who's just getting back to full health, that's another guy. They've been managing his reps, certainly, but if they are going to throw him out there, like, I want to see where he is because he's looked good at times, but it's still been a work in progress. Getting back up to speed where he was at the end of the 2023 season was out and then misses all of 24, and you know, it's a process to get back to full health. So that's a guy you certainly want to keep an eye on for sure. And then I think the young guys are going to play no matter what, and you know, that's going to be fun because they haven't gotten a whole lot of reps in training camp, but J.J. Pegues, Tonka Hemingway, the rookies, they have a lot to prove. They're trying to fight for their spot potentially on the depth chart. And so they'll be interesting to watch, I think, for sure.
Adam Hill, Lumen Field, Seattle is hosting the Raiders. Game is up at 7 o'clock over on Raider Nation Radio 920 and Comp 92.3. Pre-game's on right now on 920. On the other side for Seattle, I got one more thing with the Raiders. Quarterback mix tonight. AOC a little bit of time, and then what?
We'll see a lot of Cam Miller, rookie sixth-round pick. He got quite a bit of – he got his most reps of the offseason this week. It seemed like they were gearing him up to play quite a bit tonight, and so I think you'll see a lot of Cam Miller out there.
What do you think of him?
Had a rough go early in camp, for sure. The OTAs wasn't great. It's a big jump for him, right, coming from – FCS, and he was elite at FCS, you know, one of the best players in the country, but that's a big, big jump, and he's got a lot of athleticism, maybe more than you might think, can run a little bit, and so I think we've seen him kind of tuck the ball and get downfield, and I think you would probably expect to see a little bit of that tonight, but he needs to prove that he can pass it, and that's what they want to see out of him, but I think the athleticism is what people might be, kind of surprised by tonight. That might jump out a little bit.
Sam Darnold, I'm assuming, not going to see time. So the quarterback mix after that is actually pretty good for Seattle, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I still want to see Darnold in there, but obviously all eyes on Jalen Milroe. A guy who had a ton of success in college, very, very polarizing figure, I think, as a prospect. And this will be his first chance at the NFL level, and that's certainly a guy that I'm going to be keeping eyes on all throughout the evening and see how he goes. And I know they want to see, you know, a lot of Drew Lock, obviously, but Jalen Milroe is the guy that has a lot of focus. And don't forget, it just dawned on me again watching him out on the field, but Ricky White out on the field for Seattle. So local fans might have somebody to keep an eye on out there.
Adam Hill out in Seattle on the phone. I have to ask you this very important question now. Are you ready to defend yourself against a grizzly bear if you have to?
No.
Okay, because I saw this story where there was a mascot up there in Seattle.
It was the Kraken mascot.
Yeah, the Kraken mascot. They're out there fly fishing, and a grizzly bear charges toward them. And I guess he saw the mascot and was like, oh, it's an animal. You know what I mean? The guy's wearing the full mascot outfit. So, and he charges, but then he stops at the last minute, man. Like, that guy was almost toast.
First of all, why would anybody go out anywhere in the wilderness? It doesn't make any sense to me. There's a lot of it up here too. I actually drove up from Portland today, visiting a friend in Portland, and drove up from there for this game today, and just saw a lot of wilderness, and I was like, this is stupid. Makes no sense. I don't, like, would I be able to defend myself? No, but I wouldn't be in a position where I would have to, unless it's coming up to like the press box.
Yeah.
Or unless it tries to attack my car on the I-5 driving south. Like, no, that's not going to happen. I'm fine.
Now, I know this is the Adam Hill bit that nature is stupid. You have to admit on the drive, there had to be a moment where you're like, wow, this is incredible.
No, I do like water. Like, oddly, I like bodies of water, and there was a nice lake down by Olympia that was pretty cool. Nice. Actually, I drove over, saw some of the government buildings down at Olympia too. That was pretty nice to check out. Some nice architecture. But I like architecture and water, and that's about it. But yeah, and I like urban areas. I like cities. Like, that's more my speed. But like I said, like, you can see the Puget Sound from here. That's nice. There's a bunch of lakes. That's cool. But I mean, like, seeing trees, like a huge area of trees, make just is dumb.
I think the stadium might be a top five stadium for food. Did you really? Look at the concession areas? I think they have unique stuff. Yeah.
Okay, I might go walk around. I mean, I obviously went down to the pier and got some clam chowder earlier today. That was nice. But I'll go walk around the concourse. I have a lot of time here. I'll go check it out after this. But I do have something to bring up to you, Steve, that you might not like.
Oh, now what?
So, as you mentioned, I was listening to local radio today.
Yeah.
They were making fun of your guy, Softy, legend.
Right.
Here in Seattle.
Okay.
They were making fun of him because apparently he has had just a variety of co-hosts this year, like on a rotating basis, and nobody's ever there.
Right.
And the show before him is like, Softy was somebody, I don't know, somebody up on the air with him, which is a, you know, running thing, obviously, with you. But then they said, we're just going to have to start calling this show Softy and Company, and everybody laughed.
Whoa! Like,
hold on a second.
A funny thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, that original, really creative name is already taken. Not the Softy part.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Doing the bit. Let's deep dive here. So Softy is a legend, afternoon drive host at KJR in Seattle, Greg. Adam can't stand him, but it has nothing to do with on the air. Adam, do you want to elaborate?
I mean, I don't, like, I'm here in his, like, I think he might be here.
Oh, no.
Be careful.
You're like, I don't like Softy.
That guy sucks. He's just,
no, you know,
the fake voice, the just the over-the-top reads and the fake voice. Like, everything about him, it's the worst.
Okay, first
also
of all,
the name sucks.
He's the best read guy in the business. He's unreal, Greg. He's unreal. And he's got like, so many clients because he nails
phony.
It. But I think what Adam disliked the most, and Greg knows this from the world of comedy, and so does Adam, when you're a comedian or a talk show host, you got to turn it off.
Yes.
You can't be the – and that's – I like Softy, but he is radio guy all the time. So we've been on Radio Rose, and he goes to break. And actually, even when he's on the air, because he's by himself, and he doesn't have feedback from a studio and a board op and all that, he looks around for reaction from the other radio people. And then he goes to break, and he'll start bellowing, and you're like, bro, we're all doing shows here, okay? We all, like, stop. You don't have to perform for us, Softy.
No, he wants you to be his audience. Like, enough, dude. Like, shut it down. When you come back, but we're not doing this now.
Well, you're also the opposite, because you're like the most unradio-like guy out there. You don't want anyone to know that you do it, and you're not a guy who's holding court and wants an audience, so. Nor am I.
No, that, he's the polar opposite of us, and maybe that's why he's unbelievably successful, Steve.
Also
Tony.
Also polar opposite, ratings and makes lots of money.
Yeah.
So
he's a legend.
There you go. Right. Adam?
I also had another, it was real quick, sorry, I know you're trying to go. I walked into the booth, the press box. A guy walks up to me and he goes, oh, it's the Adam Hill. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, the guy just moved from Vegas, moved up here. And I was like, okay. And he's like, this conversation went on probably 12 to 14 minutes. Literally no idea who this person is. He was talking like we were best friends from back home.
That should be a freaking, that's a great mark on your resume, man. What an honor.
No. It's somebody I probably should know, and I don't know who it was.
You never got his name?
No. Well, I kept trying to look at his credential, but it was flipped around the wrong way.
Man.
I'll try to find out. I'm going to look at it. Like, I'll look at the seating chart.
That makes you sound bad.
I know.
You really are
bad. Yeah. I was trying to look at the credential and see who it was.
Okay, we got to close on this. Who's going to win, and what's the score going to be?
The preseason game, Steve.
We're at Circa Las Vegas. We've got lots of sports books around here.
Sorry.
People want an idea of what might happen.
I'm going to go Seattle is going to cover but not win. 24-22 Raiders.
Okay. I like that. You hesitated for a second. I thought you were going to be like, I'm sorry. I don't make picks. I'm not allowed to.
I'll make picks. Jamar Chase just scored a touchdown. Starters are playing in Cincinnati. Good for them.
Here we go. We're both going to be wrong on everybody's live. Everybody's live.
Everybody's
going to be out there. Genty's going to pop off a 75-yarder. All right, Adam. We'll talk to you, buddy.
All right. I'll see you.
I think one of the things, Greg, that can happen out of this game, because these games are all about the backups and the rookies, I think Jalen Milroe will have a couple of moments where people are like, oh, my God, get Sam Darnold out of there. Like, he's going to pop off some kind of crazy run or some, you know, throw where it's like, he's got a rocket for an arm.
It always happens.
It could, man. He's going to thrill people. And like Adam said, he was very polarizing in that NFL draft. There's a lot of people who thought he was a late first-round pick, and he wound up slipping to Seattle. All right, 2 o'clock hour continues. On the way back, we'll get into a lot more of what's going on around the NFL, some more Raiders angles. But I want to remind you, very cool stuff coming up. Ultimate Contest Weekend, August 21st to the 23rd, right here at Circa Las Vegas. I got a free seminar, 2 to 4, on the Saturday, August 23rd, hosted by Mike Palm. But there's more seminars beyond that. Radio Row is going down. They're giving out free contest entries. So you're going to want to get down here August 21st to the 23rd. Stop in on that Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Circa Las Vegas for the Ultimate Contest Weekend.
Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas,
it's Cofield and Company.
Raiders in Seattle taking on the Seahawks. Game coming up in 90 minutes. You can watch it down here at Stadium Swim on the big screen. Amazing atmosphere today. Hot, hot, hot. Sunny, sunny, sunny. That's what it's all about at Stadium Swim, Circa Las Vegas. Adam Hill. Greg, I asked a good question there about Tyree Wilson. You picked up on that, huh?
No.
I saw you send over a message in our little nifty communicating system, and I thought you said something about asking about the defensive line.
No, I'm an idiot. You were asking him, and then he was talking about the defensive line, and I was looking something up because I wanted to make sure I was right before I asked it, you know?
Yeah.
So then I come back, and I'm like, hey, what about the defensive line? He's like, and I was like, well, I just talked about it, but I guess I'll talk about it again.
There's more players than one guy.
Yeah, that's true, but
it happens.
That was a dumb question. Last week, I was talking about something, and I said Shane Steichen instead of Frank Reich. I thought about it for like 3 days after. I was like, hey,
it is so annoying because it oftentimes it hit you immediately. It doesn't hit me for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like, why did I say that? I told you earlier, I talked about like opening a fire hose and spraying gas all over a fire.
Yeah.
Which I was like, you really don't like.
It's kind of the opposite.
I mean, you got what I was saying.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make any sense.
I wouldn't even have thought anything unless you'd brought it up. But yeah.
I thought about it immediately and I was like, that was stupid. It was really dumb. Story of the week. You brought it up with Adam, but we got to mention it again. The Kraken go out to some river around Seattle. They're fly fishing. They're doing this video shoot, and you see the video, and they're like, oh, off in the distance, like getting, I mean, it's pretty far away. There's a bear getting into the water, and then, like, the bear starts walking toward them. Meanwhile, like, this Kraken dude is in a full mascot outfit.
Yeah.
With the big furry head.
Yeah.
Which I would assume, I've never been a mascot. You've got, like, incredibly limited vision.
Yes. And to have your only vision be a giant grizzly bear must have been the scariest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, the grizzly, like, wades into the water. Then he gets up on, I guess, there's some rocks in the water. He gallops, like, 6 full steps.
Yeah.
And it's probably, like, still 50. But at that moment when the bear is galloping at this mascot, you're like, he's going to die.
I don't think a lot of people realize how deadly a grizzly bear is. Like, just how destructive. There was, remember Lewis and Clark? Well, not remember them, but I mean, you know, Lewis and Clark were the explorers.
I've heard of them, yes.
Were these explorers back in the day. And when they went all the way west, they went to California. And there was obviously a lot of, you know, Native Americans there. And they were like, writing stories like, haha, the Native Americans see this bears as like this big beast, and they tell us, you know, all this stuff. Dude, like 2 months later, the same stories are from Lewis and Clark. They're like, oh my God, they're the scariest things ever. We tried guns, we tried everything, we can't kill them. Like the California grizzly, now they're gone now. But just unbelievably, you know, formidable opponents, these bears. They're just probably the most deadliest animal on earth, besides maybe a Siberian tiger or something.
Are you jealous that Adam got to see the wilderness, the rivers?
I am.
All the other stuff on the drive from Portland to Seattle? And what? He's like, I don't like it.
Yeah, it made it worse that he doesn't even care. You know, it'd be one thing if he was like, oh, dude, you should have seen it, Greg. It was like so amazing. I saw this. And he's like, yeah, whatever. Wilderness is stupid. I'm like, dude, I wish I was there. I would appreciate what I was seeing.
Well, that 50-city list that we talked about halfway through the show, about how many of the 50 cities on a certain list you had been to.
Yeah.
Put down Portland and Seattle for a future trip.
I'm going. Let's do it.
Good spots.
Maybe they have a honeypot there or whatever. We'll go there.
I'd like to go to both. I wonder if Jacorian Bennett is happy being back on the East Coast. He's a guy who went to Maryland.
Yeah.
He's now with the Eagles. I think the immediate assumption was that your guy, Howie Roseman, ripped off the Raiders.
I don't really see it that way. I see it as one of those. This is one of those rare trades on paper where I feel like both teams kind of made out, because I do think that Booker, I think he's actually going to be a really good player. I do think that he's just kind of a numbers game with the Eagles. You know what I mean? When you have that many guys in a rotation, he was kind of expendable. And I do think that he'll get more playing time on the Raiders and he'll be pretty good. I like Bennett a lot. I think he has some injury concerns. And I think that it kind of works out for both teams because Pete Carroll likes those, you know, much taller guys, taller, lankier cornerbacks, and that's just not what he is. So, and I think the Eagles don't really care. They'll put any guy out there as long as they can make plays. I mean, they have little dudes running all over the place in the secondary. So I think it works out for both teams pretty well.
Let me tell you, though, 5'11", 195-pound Jacorian Bennett works out, and he's starting in key spots for the Eagles in the playoffs, and they make the Super Bowl. The Raiders are taking a risk here because they're going to roll out, it looks like, for a lot of time, Darian Porter, who is a converted wide receiver in college to cornerback. He started for 1 year. He's a monster.
Yeah.
6'3". You know, good speed, but he fits the Pete Carroll profile. I'm sure you see on the rundown the list of the Raiders secondary.
Yeah.
It is pretty nuts. I mean, from Eric Stokes at 6'1", 193. DeCameron Richardson, 6'2", 192. Porter, 6'3", 195.
Yeah.
Shin and Polamau are both 6'3", over 200 pounds. JT Wood, 6'2", 195. I mean, it's what Pete Carroll likes. He's trying to build another defensive backfield in the image of the Legion of Boom.
Yeah, and I mean, he might be doing it. You know, you never know. I know it's like in Madden, like height is everything, height and speed. And when you have the taller guys in the secondary, you get a lot more picks, a lot more, you know, there's a lot less space when you're playing zone for guys to get the ball into because their length, they're long, you know, they're longer. So, yeah, I mean, it might work out for them. But, I mean, I don't think there's expectations for the Raiders to go to the Super Bowl. So even if the Eagles wind up going, it's not going to make the Raiders look bad if, you know, Bennett gets some playing time.
That actually is a brilliant point, at least based on what Adam Hill thinks the Raiders should be doing. I don't necessarily agree with it. And Bennett's not old, but Adam's of the belief that in this season, if you have the option between, you know, say a veteran is older, you know, 7, 8, 10-year veteran and playing a young guy pretty early, play the young guy.
Yeah. No, I agree. Plus, I mean, if the reports are true, he wasn't really getting a lot of looks at the ones anyway at camp.
He was on the threes.
Yeah, so.
And he was barely on the threes, so he's not even in your plans, and you can turn him around for a guy who potentially could be a rotational tackle who might be able to get in for I don't know how many plays. You know, maybe he gets in for 25 to 35 plays a game.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
No, he's a good player, man. I hate that term, high motor guy, but he really is. He's got a good motor. He's strong. He's, you know, they like the first step they always say they like. He has that. I think he's a good player.
Griffin, what happened to former Eagle CJ GJ?
Yep, CJ Gardner-Johnson. Came over to the Houston Texans. Was expected to replace their original safety from 2024. During training camp, he went in for a tackle and apparently had a what looked to be a pretty significant leg injury. He had to be carted off.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so no official note yet on what that injury is or how severe it is.
That's what you get for running your mouth!
I had a feeling you were going to say that, because you turned on that guy real damn quick.
Hey, he turned on us twice. Immediately. But you know what? I don't want anybody to get injured. I'm kidding around. But I do think it's a bummer. I mean, obviously, he was a big acquisition for them, and they were expecting him to start and, you know, make plays for him, and now he's probably not going to be playing at all. So, big
and the Eagles got a backup left guard for him?
Yeah, who might actually get some playing time. I mean, you know, guys get hurt, nicked up, whatever.
If you're a Raiders fan, and none of us are, do you think Raiders fans actually think about Davante Adams anymore?
Only I think when it comes up, like it's one of those guys you see him on TV and you're just kind of like, oh, there's this guy again, you know. But so, I don't think in their everyday lives they're thinking about
it. I don't get him. I mean, I kind of do.
Yeah.
As we've labeled him and other people in, say, the Lotus building, the term energy vampire,
yes,
is Davante Adams.
Yeah. You know, cancer is probably a severe term, but that's another, you know, version of that.
Just a guy who sucks the fun out of the room.
Sure.
Bro, you moved on, okay?
Yep.
You're two teams removed now from the Raiders. You wanted out. You bragged about basically having the power to bench Jimmy Garoppolo, and then, you know, he had to kind of talk his way out of that one when all of a sudden he's on the Rams, and, hey, there's Jimmy G, brother. What did you say during the wide receiver reality show that you told the management that you were good with him being benched? You took credit for benching him. You wanted out to go to the Jets and play with your buddy Aaron Rodgers, and you also turned on Antonio Pierce months after much of the team said, hey, Mark Davis, hire Antonio Pierce. That's who we want. So I don't, like, why is he looking back? You know what's happening here? More people are kind of opening their eyes to who he is.
Yeah.
And I think it's upsetting him because he never got any guff in Green Bay. But, like, when you actually get covered in real markets,
right,
we can go back and see what you said and how you're being duplicitous in your message and you're contradicting yourself.
Yeah.
He is an energy vampire who is concerned all the time. He's one of these guys who's a high achiever, but, like, deep down, he feels like he's being cheated somehow. He's not getting his.
Why are, and I, you know, people say it's because they're isolated on their own island. They're me. Why are wide receivers like this? I mean, I know there's other players like this too, but it just seems like so many. I mean, even A.J. Brown with the Eagles, I know he's, you know, he didn't get traded or anything, but a lot of these guys have these issues like this. What is that?
I don't think it's all of them, like you said, but it's him. And you're right. There's other, I mean, because it's such an individual position.
Yeah.
And you're, destiny is in someone else's hands.
Yeah.
Like, if you're down on a field and you're watching games, a mouthy wide receiver oftentimes will pop off, kind of not even where the quarterback can hear them, but they'll run a route, they're open, and then the ball goes to the other side of the field, and they're like, throw it my way!
Right, like, right.
Bro, he didn't see you, or it wasn't the right read. You're not going to get the ball every time. But there are a lot of receivers at all levels who come out of games and are like, wait, I didn't get 8, 10, 12, 14 targets? This is bullcrap. Hey, you won, though. I need my targets.
Those are the ones that make me mad. That's why I brought up A.J. Brown. There was a time where he was screaming at Jalen on the sidelines, whether we're winning by like 30 or something.
Yep.
And it's like, dude, come on, man. Like, you know, are you a team player now? Then he changes it. Oh, I have my book and all this other crap. But, yeah, it just always seems like it's wide receivers. Again, I mean, not always, but a lot of the time.
On the way back, we're going to find out if Greg is really part of Cofield & Company or not. We were chatting about Hard Knocks on our text conversation. We are all very much into it. Willie has just completely broken. He's, like, shaking on Tuesday nights, like, waiting to watch Hard Knocks. And it's a situation like, watch Hard Knocks on Cofield & Company or else you're not going to be part of the conversation.
Cofield & Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
So, Griffin, check that. Salerno's walking in a hornet's nest here because this show is very much into HBO's Hard Knocks. It's the Buffalo Bills this year. Last night I was suggesting, hey, probably want to watch this and get into it because we're into it. Salerno, there are acceptable answers. I think the acceptable one is yes. The second one is no, I didn't watch because the show sucks.
Can I mix them both together?
Yes.
You're talking about that. You talking about the college one or are you talking about Hard Knocks?
Hard Knocks, NFL, the Bills.
I thought you told me to watch Saturday. Oh, okay.
I did, but we're very big on Hard Knocks.
Okay, no, I didn't watch Hard Knocks, but I did watch the Saturday, whatever that was.
Any given Saturday.
Now, first, before I say anything, we're not affiliated with them. We have no, there's no client or, I mean, there's nobody we know that's going to be in SAD that's involved with this production.
What do you mean, on the SEC show?
I don't know, man. Yeah.
I don't think so, yeah.
Okay, good. Because I watched two episodes. Now, I feel like when they have Insomniacs, they should recommend they watch this show because I cannot believe how boring that show was. I don't even understand what I'm supposed to be watching. It's a guy cursing for a minute, and then a bunch of knee pads, you know, and they do the, like, they try to be like Hard Knocks, where it's like, ugh, and they snap the ball a couple times. Then there's a guy going hunting. I don't care about him. Then they, you know, they go over, they're playing the Gamecocks. I'm like, hey, whatever, you know. I don't even understand what I'm watching. Like, it wasn't, there was no drama. There's no guy, like, I like Hard Knocks because the guy tries to get in the door. He can't get in. He's cut. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, they cut him. Like, why am I watching this show? What was the purpose of this show?
Griffin, you said you liked the college show more than Hard Knocks.
Yeah, I did. Way better.
Why?
Because Hard Knocks is a cookie cutter every season. Pretty much the freaking same season. It's the same. And it's always the same perspectives. It's always the star quarterback. Let's take the first episode of Hard Knocks. Josh Allen. McDermott, all the pressure of bringing a Super Bowl. Oh, there's funny little characters and quirky little side missions in the episode and throughout the season. The SEC, Any Given Saturday, those first two episodes I watched, and I got a inside look to both these head coaches, LSU, South Carolina, episode two, we see Florida.
Yeah, Florida. The second one was better than the first one. I'll give him that. The second one was better than the first one.
I don't know, man. I will say this, out of those two episodes for SEC and then the one episode of Hard Knocks, SEC got me so hyped up for football season, way more than Hard Knocks did.
Wow.
And that's not how it always used to be. Back during my younger years and playing days, I used to really enjoy Hard Knocks. But I think just years of watching the show and years of seeing the same format, I'm just kind of a little burnt out from it. And the SEC is a nice little changeup.
Man, all I learned from that show was that the coach of LSU, I forget what, Kelly?
Brian Kelly.
Yeah. All I learned is his dad likes lemon twist. That's all I learned from like the first episode of that show. There was literally nothing else going on.
I actually liked the Hard Knocks was boring. As Mike Florio pointed out, from Pro Football Talk, that's the way they want it. The show changed a couple years ago because they gave the teams way too much control over the editing. They do way too many schmaltzy stories. Like, while the Bills went and got ice cream, which I thought was tremendous, most of the time, the away from football stories are kind of lame.
Yeah.
The SEC show is cool because they're showing football. And the difference is, by the way, the Hard Knocks doesn't have as much football to work with because it's preseason. It doesn't really count. They're showing recaps of the SEC season and kind of the drama in the games. They show a lot more football, and I think Griffin, that's why I enjoyed it, is there's actual football. And, I mean, hell, right out of the gates, you freaking see the Florida starting quarterback go down, and then this phenom, DJ Lagway, has to go in there. You see South Carolina's quarterback, Lenora Sellers, go down. So I thought that stuff was kind of cool. As I get older, this is weird because I love all the peripheral stuff, but I actually liked a lot of the football.
You know, fun little note too. The SEC show actually showed me that famous, Varsity Blues actor James Vanderbeek is actually playing linebacker for LSU.
Weeks.
Oh my goodness,
Witt and West Weeks.
Like a spitting image of the guy. I was watching. I was like, this looks like a guy who should be, you know, cussing at his coach's face, saying we're going out there. But not with you.
Real quick. Sorry. No, by the way, how is DJ Lagway driving a Lambo? The guy hasn't even played yet. He's pulling up to the complex. He wasn't even the starter yet, and he's driving a Lambo.
How do you get him, man? He's a top five guy in the country. How do you think Florida got him? You got to offer a better Lambo than Miami and Ohio State and Texas and Michigan, Penn State.
That was the best part of both episodes, by the way, him getting out of the Lambo.
I actually thought one of the more amazing parts is Tim Tebow has to weigh 275 pounds now. What is he doing? He is like a defensive lineman. He is freaking jacked.
I'll tell you what he's doing. He's doing that post-career trend diet. That boy is doing a lot. I'm not going to put any accusations out there, but when you are that thick and you look that big, come on, man. Yeah, there's no drug test anymore. Do your thing.
He had that vein. You ever see that vein on the bicep? You know what I mean? It looks like an oil rig.
Oh, yeah.
Those are good.